Shalom, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. How are you, Ilan?
I am good.
That's good. Well rested, I hope.
Say again?
I said well rested, I hope.
Well rested, yeah. After shoveling, well rested.
That is good.
Yeah.
Give you your daily exercise. You don't have to go to the gym.
Yeah. It's fun. I love it. I told you, I love the snow. I enjoy every minute of it.
Beautiful. Very nice.
So
anyway, this Parashat Terumah.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say, Parashat Terumah.
Yeah, so we see that it's brought down in the Torah portion that the people of Israel are called upon to contribute 15 materials to the making of the sanctuary. They had to give gold and silver and copper and blue and purple and red dye wool and goat hair and animal skins and wood and olive oil and so on and so on. And which God said to Moses, they shall make for me a sanctuary and I shall dwell amidst them.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in a second, why it's quite strange when it says, and I shall dwell amidst them, where it should have said, I should dwell in it. But we'll get to that in a minute. But, and also continuing in the Torah portion, it's brought down that on the summit of the Mount Sinai, Moses gives the detailed instructions on how to construct this dwelling for God, so that it could be readily dismantled, transported, and reassembled as the people journey in the desert, because they weren't, when they built the sanctuary and the place for God to dwell, they weren't in one specific place. They were in the desert. They were constantly moving, so it had to be made in a way that it could be taken apart, traveled, and then put together right away,
yeah,
as not to waste any time, also not to damage or do any thing that inappropriate handling should be done with the with those things that they're going to be transporting.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously the way that it was set up that in the sanctuary, the inner chamber, in the sanctuary of the inner chamber, behind specially woven curtain was the ark containing the two tablets, which had the Ten Commandments, and then on the outer chamber stood the seven-branched menorah, and then the table upon which the showbread, the lechem apanim, was arranged. And then it goes on to explain further how the chatzer, the garden, everything was established. Now, if you go and look, that the purpose of creation is that the presence of God should be revealed in this world. And the first expression, if you go and look, was in the Garden of Eden. As we're told, you know, in the beginning of the Torah in Bereshit, that Adam and Eve dwelt in the garden, and together with them dwelling in the garden was a divine presence. However, the world was not ready yet for this, and therefore it was only Adam and Eve at that period of time.
Yeah.
And as we know that Adam and Eve sinned by eating from the tree of knowledge, and consequently the presence of God then became hidden, because God could not dwell with, for the lack of better words, sinners and his shining light could not continue staying with them. It has to be hidden. And further sins that we see in the following, you know, generations, for example, Cain killing Abel, caused the divine presence to be even more concealed. However, with Abram, we began the process of bringing down the divine presence back to the world. And this was continued by Isaac and Jacob and the following generations, because there was periods of time that in the generations that they were sinners, they weren't obviously doing what God wanted them to do, so constantly the shin of the glory of God in spiritual sense, was going one level higher and higher and higher away from us. And it was through the our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that it slowly started coming down. And in the seventh generation after Abraham came Moses. And the sages tell us that the seventh had a particularly likelihood of success. Why? Because this was all done through, you know, the achievement of one person, of Moshe, of Moses.
Yeah.
He's following God's instructions. He guided the Jewish people in the building of a sanctuary, you know, where the presence of godliness was revealed. And where was it revealed the most? It was revealed in the Holies of Holies. And this was the first stage of the fulfillment of the purpose of creation. Why? Because God wanted to be able to have him, godliness, in the Holies of Holies. Until then, he couldn't. He couldn't have it by Adam and Eve. He had to hide himself. He couldn't have it as generations progressed later on, because they weren't obviously going in his way. So this was the first stage of the fulfillment of the purpose of creation. And then the later stages would be the first, the second, and ultimately the third temple, which is going to be in Jerusalem. Which that is going to be the final dwelling place for God. So if we look and we see that all the temples, all the Beit HaMikdashes, those were the primary focus and purpose of why the world was created. And the fact that the presence of the divine, which is godliness, dwelt in the Holies of Holies, was not something separate from the lives of the Jewish people. Because we go and look in our parsha, he tells us, and I quote, "They shall build for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell in them." And the sages tell us this means within each individual. And that's why it says, when I said before, "And I shall dwell amidst them." In every single person, he is going to have their sanctuary. Through the building of the sanctuary, God dwells in the heart of every single person. Now, what does it mean when you're making a sanctuary for God? Is that our life is surrounded by godliness. What we're doing is encompassing God.
Yeah.
Now, we see that women had a particularly significant part in the building of the sanctuary. The woman, if you go and look in the Torah portion, were more enthusiastic than the men in bringing the donations of gold, silver, copper, the wool, the linen, the precious stones, and whatever that was needed. They were the ones that were willing to take off their ears, off their necks, their necklaces, their gold, diamonds, whatever it may be, to go and bring it to be able to be used for the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah.
And further, unlike the men, the woman entirely refused to have anything to do with making of the golden calf. When Moses was up in heaven for the 40 days and 40 nights, and the Jews were, what's happening with him? He might not be coming down. He's probably forgotten about us. We need to create something. We need to have some sort of someone to lead us. And they created the golden calf. And the women were the only ones that did not want to be part of it. Besides the Levim also. But the woman really had no part of it. And the making of this idol and the way it was worshipped was the very opposite of everything expressed by the sanctuary and the presence of the divine. Because this was obviously something totally against God, totally against our whole motto of we are believing in Hashem. And the women were specifically, adamantly against it, and they were the ones that really, really brought everything that was needed to be able to build the sanctuary, to build the Mishkan for God. And in our time, if you think about it, if you take it a step further, the woman also has this leading role in creating another kind of sanctuary. Not only the sanctuary that we were talking about till now, of where godliness is going to rest, the sanctuary for the holies of holies, for the menorah, but they also have the leading role in creating the sanctuary which is called the Jewish home. And in the Jewish home itself, here too, the presence of God dwells. And the teachings of the Torah show that the way that the divine can be present in every detail of human life, from most public to the most intimate, starts at the home. Everything starts at the home. Our basis of who we are, if you want to really see someone who they really are, you go and visit them in their house.
Yeah.
You know, people, when we're out, we have to be, you know, we've got to put on a good show. And the spiritual power of womanhood may relate, I think, possibly, to the Kabbalistic idea that the woman has an affinity with the seventh divine attribute, which is kingship, which signifies completion, you know, achievement, and fulfillment in the real world. You know, they say behind every man stands a woman.
A woman.
Yeah. We are, if we don't have that, we don't have our backbone. She is the main source for the house. And if you put it in more direct terms, there is a God-given sensitivity in the woman which recognizes the positive and the holy, that which one should strive to support. And this special quality also detects, I believe, that which is unholy and should be avoided. You know, women have this special sixth sense. They have this spiritual side to them, which I think very much that they have the more spirituality than men. And of course the sensitivity towards them needs to be nurtured, but it has to be done in a way that through personal study of Torah, the practical observance of the mitzvahs, and through this, women and men together with their families, then will reveal the presence of God in their homes, their surroundings, and ultimately, you know, in the whole world. And only through that will there be the third temple in Jerusalem where God is going to dwell. So to be able to get that level of having the third temple built, we have to first make sure that we have our temple built. The temple which is our home. But how does that get built? It's always the direction of the woman. The kingship that the woman leads in the house. And I think that's something very, very important. You know, people, you know, it's always left out the fact of, hey, women really don't have anything to do in religion, or women are, you know, Torah doesn't talk that much about what they should be doing. But I think it's an important thing to be able to understand that the whole house, our whole being of who we really are, is through the woman. Look what they did at the time of the golden calf. The women weren't interested in getting involved in something like that. They knew what was right and what was wrong. I think that's a very, very important lesson for us to be able to learn. That we have to, you know, sometimes take the guidance from the woman in our home to be able to build a sanctuary for God.
Yeah. Very interesting.
I thought that was when I was reading it, and I go through the parsha and you read, you know, like the Rashi and the commentators, and you sort of get the sense that, you know, and you read a little bit of the Kabbalistic books, And you see that it talks very much about a woman's role in the house and in the family.
Yeah.
Very, very important. Very important. So I thought that was something that I think should be talked about.
That's good. So Rabbi, services at Shaarei Tzedek.
Yeah. Friday, Shabbat comes in this week, which is 5:31, candle lighting time. So we pray 6 o'clock in the evening and 9 o'clock Saturday morning. So everyone's invited.
That's good. So Rabbi, I wanted to thank you for today's parasha.
Thank you.
And to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too, and we should have a peaceful Shabbat Shalom, peaceful all over the world, and we should do our part in making this world a better place to bring God in this town.
We have, all of us have to do the best we can.
100%.
Thank you again.
Be well, and Shabbat Shalom.
Be well.